Now it's case number 398 on the calendar, in the matter of Weissman versus Vafwaye. Parties have been sworn in. You may be seated. You're welcome.
Mr. Weissman, it is your claim that the defendant owes you some money for a loan that you made to her to do some home repairs on her house.
That's correct.
Am I correct that the two of you, after meeting, were in a relationship?
Correct.
That a fair statement?
Yes, ma'am.
You had a home?
Yes.
Your home was in need of some repairs?
Yes.
Mr. Weissman, you agreed to lend the defendant money to fix her home. And at some point, she moved in with you to your home?
Correct.
When did she move in with you to your home, Mr. Weissman?
December 1st of 2011.
That's not correct.
Hmm?
November 1st, 2011.
Okay. And when you moved into Mr. Weissman's home, you were living there as a couple. Is that a fair statement?
Yes, ma'am.
And I assume from the fact that the two of you appear to be well-put people, nobody has orange hair or weird things coming out of their head, that you were in a relationship that you thought might be a long-term relationship.
Yes.
Fair statement?
Yes.
All right. Then the idea came to both of you that you were going to stay with Mr. Weissman in his house and rent your house.
Yes.
After the repairs were completed.
Yes, ma'am.
And out of the rental that you were going to get from that house, you were going to pay Mr. Weissman back the money for the repairs that you did on the house, because now it's an income-producing property. Is that a fair statement?
Partially.
Oh, it's more than partially. It's not what either one of you two is saying here in these statements, but that's what it sounds like to me. The problem is that the relationship went south before the money was paid back. That be a fair statement, Mr. Weissman?
Yes, it would be.
You know when I figured that out? Mr. Weissman, when I was walking through that door. Because I'm trying to figure out these complaints and answers, and nobody wants to tell me the truth. I love the truth. The truth sets you free. Now, when did you move out of Mr. Weissman's house?
End of May of 2012, 1 week after my knee surgery.
May of 2012.
Correct.
And in what month did the tenants move into your house?
They moved in December 1st. They had 1 month free rent.
So they started to pay you rent in January?
Correct.
What was the rent?
$2,200.
A month. And they're still there?
Yes, ma'am.
Where are you living?
I live in Coronado by myself.
So you now have this rental property that you're able to make some money from, and it was owing to the fact that Mr. Weissman advanced you this money.
May I elaborate on that?
Sure.
Okay. When I hear the statement that he advanced me the money, I would like to present to the court, if I may, a money trail that says where the funds came originally.
Well, where did they come from?
I had an annuity that Mr. Weissman, being in the insurance business, approached me back in August and said, if you let me be your agent on file and take your annuity from annuity A to annuity B, I will get a commission and I will give you that commission. And with that deal, I fired.
And this was in August of
2011. And I have documentation of
the annuity. Just a second, wait. Before I look at it, because if Mr. Weissman is going to make me read those things, and it's as you indicate that he did make money mm-hmm. from the transfer of your annuity from one place to another, and if he's going to make me read all those, and I hate to read, but I will if I have to. And Mr. Weissman, did you make any money from the defendant transferring an annuity that she had from one place to you?
The answer is yes. I've been an insurance professional.
No. I don't care. It's okay. Not an advertisement for you, Mr. Weissman. The answer is yes, you made money.
Yes.
How much?
About $17,000, of which I returned $4,100 to her.
Just a second. You made $17,000. Now, when you made this $17,000, were the two of you living in your home?
I don't recall if she had moved out as yet or not.
You mean after May? Certainly, while this transaction was ongoing, you were sharing a bedroom.
Yes.
So you made $17,000, returned $4,000. That gives you $13,000.
Which is my profession.
Got it.
Thank you very much, Your Honor.
You're welcome.
Mr.
Weissman, I want to tell you this. I know that this is really unimportant for you. It is important for me because I'm going to let you tell me your side of the story. I want you to understand, it's sushi today for lunch. It's my favorite. Go.
She was my realtor and sold me the house I'm living in. And she made a very good commission. I don't know the exact amount.
And what,
she returned
what
year, nothing to and me
what
on
was,
that.
And what year was that, sir?
2011, May 9th, I bought my home.
And you were, in fact, not living together?
At that point, no.
No. So
we
when
were dating.
She sold you, just a second, when she sold you your home, you didn't move in together, according to you.
Correct.
Until December of 2011, 8 months later, right?
Yes.
But when you made your money from the insurance that she transferred to you, you were, in fact, sharing a toothbrush. Go. I'm still with you, Mr. Weissman.
When I loaned her the money, it had nothing to do with any other transaction. She was going to pay me back in full when her alimony check came in, December 15, 2011. When the alimony check came in, she decided not to do that because she ran over her estimate of what the
what
renovation would cost. The alimony was December 2011. She got over $14,000.
Right, so she didn't pay you back.
She didn't pay me anything.
She didn't pay you back, and she didn't pay you anything back in January.
She paid me two checks, one of them totaling $1,000 on January 6th and the other one February 24th, where she wrote down the loan.
Just a second. Absolutely. Because at that time you were living together, correct? And your deal with her was you were going to live together, and from the money she got from renting the house, because the two of you were living in your residence, either sharing or you were taking care of the expenses. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Your Honor, I paid all my expenses in full.
In his house?
In his house.
Well, what expenses did you pay in his house?
My own health insurance, all of my gas.
No, I'm not talking about your, of course, your health insurance.
Everything. Like, he didn't support me like a wife, is what I'm saying.
No, but he paid for his mortgage?
Yes.
Did you contribute to the mortgage?
No, ma'am. I contributed to the rent.
What rent?
I paid him 2 months' rent, $1,000 in January and $1,000 in February. He did not want me to put rent on it because he doesn't want to declare it as rental income. He told me, you're not paying rent, you're getting rent, you should be paying me rent. So I put on it loan because that's what he wants.
No, I don't believe that at all. We're going to get back to the original concept of what I think this case is all about. That the two of you decided to live together. You thought it was going to be a while that you were going to be living together. You were going to rent your property so you wouldn't have any expenses. And from the income from that rental, you were going to return the $12,000 that he did, in fact, give you. But one of the considerations for that was that you were going to be living together in your house. Now, what would happen, Mr. Weissman, if she had a tenant? You're not living together anymore, and I don't really care whose fault that is. It's probably the best thing. But if she moved back into the house, that she had a support. That wasn't your deal. I believe that you wrote loan on that, not for the reason that you said loan, because you weren't paying him rent. Had nothing to do with rent. It was the return of the $12,000 that was supposed to be paid from the rental income from your house.
May I?
Sure.
After several broken promises as to when I would get paid, she finally said, as a licensed realtor, that she would pay from the next real estate commission that she would receive. She had a referral that generated a commission that was paid to her on November 30th.
Just a second. You moved in together, according to you, in December 2011. You made this loan to her at about that time.
Correct.
She was going to pay you back starting the next month. You lived together until May of 2012. She didn't pay you back when she originally promised, according to you, that she was going to pay you back. Is that right?
Yeah, she stopped paying in February.
Just a second. She stopped paying in February. Did you sleep with her in February?
Yes.
Did you sleep with her in March?
Yes.
Did you say, get out of my house? No.
No.
That's your problem, Mr. Weissman. Because if you would stay together, we wouldn't be here.
Judge Judy continues in a moment. And later today.
Actually, there wasn't a paycheck. He was telling us that he was working until a few weeks ago. I decided to go to his employment. And I didn't say I was his mother. I just said, oh, I'm just here to see Rob. Is he in? And they said, oh, no, he left a month ago.
Wayne Weissman says his ex-girlfriend, Mashi Vafai, owes for a loan to make renovations on her home. Mashi says the money was commission Wayne made when he transferred her annuity fund.
No, you had an arrangement, and your arrangement was that she was going to give you $1,000 every month until this amount of money was paid off, but that was consistent with the fact that you were going to be living in your house and you were going to be taking care of the bills. And that's how she was going to give the money back to you. And I don't feel sorry for you, sir, because I really don't, because what happened is it didn't happen. The contract, this oral contract that you have, wasn't fulfilled. She didn't stay with you, and now she's got to rent someplace else because she's got tenants in her house, which means the contract is null and void.
She didn't
and I don't feel sorry for you,
me.
Sir, because you actually made from her $14,000, according to you, during the time that you were living together and sharing a toothbrush. $14,000. That more than covers the $12,000 loan. Less $2,000 because she made two payments when she was getting rent checks and living with you. So I don't feel sorry for you, Mr. Weissman, at all. Now I can go eat my sushi. Goodbye.
Thank you.
Parties are excused. You may step out.
I cannot believe that I had to come to this level.
Money was due and payable. She promised to pay it. And she's a scoundrel.
Compromise my dignity to try to get my justice out of this man.
You don't handle your finances responsibly. As she didn't, she's a scoundrel.
I am just so delighted. I knew that she would come through and see right through him that he's such a user and a taker.
I hope I never see her again, ever.
And now, the next case.
All parties in the matter of Kasperzik, Kavisto versus Kasperzik. Step forward, please.
Casey Kasperzik and his mother, Rana Kavisto, are suing Casey's brother, Robert Kasperzik, for a series of unpaid loans.
Your last name is?
Kasperzik.
And this is your mom?
Yes.
And that's your brother?
Yes.
It is your claim that the two of you had loaned Robert $5,000. He needed that money. He had to relocate his family, and he was sort of financial straits. The source of that money was an inheritance from your father.
Yes.
And when your father passed away, he left money to you?
Yes.
How much?
He left me a percentage in a building that he owned, so I didn't actually have cash.
How much money did he leave to you?
Of that building, I was given 24%.
And you?
8%.
And when was the will probated?
Well, it was in a trust, so after all of the bills were paid from the trust, then I distributed the remaining items that were in it, and Robert was issued his 8%, and he sold it.
And you sold your interest for how much?
I believe it was $40,000 even.
Okay, and when did you get that $40,000?
It was about a year ago.
And you received how much?
It's to be determined.
Okay, but you still own your 24%.
Yes.
Did you, from the time the will was probated and the trust resolved, did you receive any cash?
No, Your Honor.
No cash at all?
No.
Now, when was it that your brother told you that he was in financial difficulty?
The first date I have record of was September 20th.
What year?
2012.
How much money did you loan him?
On that date, I loaned him $500.
And what did he tell you he needed the money for?
For living expenses, food, utilities, etc.
Tell me where that conversation took place.
It took place on the phone, actually a three-way call between my mother, myself, and my brother. I put the money in my mother's account, and she gave it to my brother.
When did he say he would pay you back?
Well, that's the interesting part. It's always the next paycheck, I will get my money back.
Okay. When for the next time that you alleged that you lent him money?
October 24th. I loaned him $1,145.
For what?
This was for a security deposit. They were being evicted from the home that they were renting. Those owners had the home foreclosed and they needed to move.
So he didn't pay you back with his next paycheck?
No.
May I say something? Actually, there wasn't a paycheck because he wasn't working. He was telling us that he was working. Every Friday, he was supposed to get a check. Every Friday, he was supposed to pay money back. Every Friday, it was another text that said, oh, gee, I didn't get as much money as I thought I was getting, so now I don't have the money to pay you. There was always an excuse until a few weeks ago, I decided to go to his employment, and I drove down there and found out that he wasn't even working there. And I didn't say I was his mother. I just said, oh, I'm just here to see Rob Kasperzik. Is he in? And they said, oh, no, he left a month ago. He's working somewhere else.
Judge Judy continues in a moment.
If you make three children, you're supposed to be able to take care of them, not rely on your mother or your brother or your dead grandfather. You need money, you get a job. Do you work?
No.
Get a job.
Casey Kasperzik and his mother, Rana Kavisto, claim Casey's brother, Robert Kasperzik, borrowed a lot of money from them and he has never paid it back. Robert claims he owes nothing.
Where did you go?
I lost my job there and I didn't get another job. And it was a pride factor to my, you know, talking to my mom. Okay.
Got it. Okay. What'd you do with the $40,000?
A lot of things. You know, I used it for rent. I used it for bills. I used it for schools. I paid, caught a lot of debts up. I looked at it like cashing that out was better for me in the short term than it would have been to hold on to it in the long term. I needed it for a lot of things.
That's fine. But you ran out of money. Who do you live with?
My wife and three kids.
How old are your children?
14, 13, and 10.
How much money in total did you take from your brother and mother?
In the last couple of months?
Yes. Since September?
They have given me, I would say, probably $5,000 to $6,000.
Well, why do you think you don't have to pay them back?
I feel that I don't owe them anything.
I don't care what you feel. I'm asking you
when
why.
When my grandfather passed away and adjusted the will and I received notification of just the percentages that were adjusted to, was the first time that I was informed that that was the way things were adjusted. And I feel that them helping us and contributing to our bills and different various needs that we have with three kids is a way of them settling that wrong.
Let me tell you how I feel. I feel that unless there is some overriding reason, it's nice to treat your children and grandchildren the same in your last will and testament, because if nothing else, it will make that person or persons who don't receive the same amount of money feel as if you don't care for them enough.
May I say something?
Okay. But it was your grandfather's money, and it's your grandfather's building, and if that's what he chose to do, there may have been good reason in his head that he said, you know what? I want to show my grandson that I do love him, but maybe he felt as if you hadn't been responsible during your life. You were always needed during your life, and it was about time you stood on your own two feet. Maybe he felt that way. I don't know.
Wouldn't it have been prudent to discuss that with me or the three of us?
No, it's none of your business. It's his money, not yours. You didn't earn it. You didn't build it. You didn't create it. He owes you a nothing. Mm-hmm. Not a conversation. Now, that doesn't mean that you don't feel badly, but they don't owe you anything.
Judge Judy continues in a moment. Closed captioning sponsored by...
So what you feel is not legal. What you feel may be bad, but they don't owe you anything. You're a big boy that made three children, that has a wife, and if you make three children, you're supposed to be able to take care of them, not rely on your mother or your brother or your dead grandfather to take care of what you made. You would say that that's accurate, wouldn't you? You need money, you get a job. That's what you do. Do you work?
No.
Get a job. Get a job. You have children in school. There's no reason why you don't work. When was the last time your wife was employed?
It's been a while.
Tell her to get a job. If you can't get a job, tell her to get a job. It's not their responsibility to take care of you.
I do have a job now.
Great. Tell her to get a job, too. That way you won't struggle. You know, you owe your brother $5,000 judgment for the plaintiff. That's all.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Parties are excused. You may step out.
Judge Judy continues in a moment. And on the next Judge Judy.
You broke up. He never paid you back the $700.
I didn't think it was going to go this far.
She didn't give me anything. I surely did not receive any cash from her.
She gave you no money?
No.
Next Judge Judy.
The final straw was the stress that's been caused on my mother. I'm not going to let him eat through my mother the way he did my grandfather.
I mean, I feel like it's just kind of par for the course with our family.
Oh, without a doubt, I was taken advantage of. And that's why I brought him here. And hopefully he'll listen to Judge Judy and he'll get a job.
I feel like things have been changed in their favor for a tremendous amount. And I don't feel that I owe them the money.
I hope we can heal. I hope, there's no doubt I love my brother. I love my sister-in-law.
It's definitely put a major strain on our relationship.
And I want us to be a family, but I want us to be a responsible family.
But I'm hoping that we can find some closure and maybe get back to being a family. Mm-hmm.